Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Dependent you are on him. Give him praise, give him glory. Bless his name for keeping you. So many are the devices, many are the forces, many are the attacks against the righteous. He said, but the Lord delivered you here today because you are lucky. You are here today because the Lord has kept you. Go ahead and worship him. Worship him. Talk to him. Be deliberate about it. Be deliberate. Be deliberate. Give him thanks, give him praise. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We magnify your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask that you encounter us by your word. We ask that you impart us by your spirit. Lord, shift us forward even on account of this fellowship tonight, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much. I'll share with us briefly. At some point in the service, we'll make war in the spirit. Began last week by explaining to us that there are four cities every man must subdue in order to make a mark in life and destiny. Everyone created of God was created with a definite purpose and a definite mandate. I welcome all the ministers here. You're welcome, sir. Thank you so much for coming to share fellowship. The Lord bless you richly. There are four cities that must be subdued. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew thee. I ordained thee, I sanctified thee to be a prophet to the nations. David said that his destiny was corrupt even before. And the Bible said in John chapter 1, from verse 9, he said, that light is the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. And so before anyone mortal made an appearance in the earth realm, his destiny was already preordained. But whether you will live out your destiny or not is dependent on the success with which you record, even as you contend with the cities that try to enslave you and to shut down the possibilities of your destiny. And so I said there are four cities that every great man that you see in manifestation has subdued. The first city that you must subdue in order to be relevant to your generation is the city within. The soul of man happens to be the bridge. When God created man, he fashioned him such that A part of his being is spirit, and a part of his being is corpora. The aspect of what emerged the soul is blown into the body, and the man became a living soul. And so the soul is a gate, and every spirit that wants to dominate the man tries to find access to the soul of the man. And so in Ephesians 4:27, Paul said, giving no place to the devil. Because the soul is a space within the man that allows spirits to rule over the man. A man will be an impregnable fortress so long as his soul is kept intact. The moment the soul of the man is breached, that institution is already breached. And that which God wrote concerning that man can be sabotaged. And so every man who wants to keep the essence of his destiny intact must fight the war to preserve the soul. This is why the Bible said, the man who has rule over his tongue is superior to the man that can conquer a city. Because the first victory a man must record is the victory within. If your inside is porous, everything you are seeing in the external is a mirage. The day the devil comes for you, he will bring you down. And so a man who is truly victorious is a man that has won the battle within. The first fight every one of us must fight is the fight against internal infiltration. That is the focus of every spirit. The way spirits access the soul is to provoke a protocol of rebellion. Because a man who functions under obedience keeps his soul intact. When the devil came into the garden, he said, did God really say, you shall not eat of every tree that is of the garden? Because the moment you walk in rebellion, you have opened up your spirit to the spirit that you suggest or you submit to it. And so the moment Adam obeyed the devil, his soul opened up and the devil took over. When the devil was contending with Jesus on the mountain, he said, bow down to me, I will give you everything you see, for it has been delivered to me. Adam never knew territories were being bargained. He thought it was about a choice. And he didn't know that the choice is the key to the soul. The access to the soul of a man is tied to the choices that he makes. Because every choice a man makes is a testimony of allegiance to a spirit. You are not permitted to make any independent choice. What you call a choice are actually wills of spirits. The one you choose is a testimony of allegiance. And the way you keep your soul intact is to remain perpetually obedient to the law of God. The moment you violate it, your soul is open and you have lost the battle within. And so we say the first city that everybody must fight to defend is the city within. Unfortunately, many believers are not taught how to secure the within aspect of their being. And so we live looking for what will provide comfort for us. And we don't know that for everything we possess, choices were made. And every choice that was made gave grounds to the spirit that seek to dominate us. When the soul within, the city within is lost, every other city can be taken. But when the city within is kept intact, then the contention continues. And I said the second contention is for spirit cities. Spirit cities are actually dwelling places of princes in darkness. You know, when you look into the structure of the demonic realm, not every spirit possesses men. There are certain spirits that are lords in their own rights. They are called dominions. They are called rulers of the dead. Possess a man because they have their own bodies. They are fallen beings. It is demons that lack bodies. This is why demons seek to possess men. Principalities already have bodies, so they don't need to possess you. When they come into a place, they secure a dominion system that is like a control tower from whence they rule mortals. And so the second fight every man must win is the fight against the spirit cities. And I told us last week when I was teaching, I said, every territory you see today is a mirror image of a spiritual territory. When the earth was created, God designed the earth to mirror the heavens. That is why he planted the Garden of Eden and he asked the man to dominate the earth realm. The idea was for the man to extend the frontiers of the earth realm until the earth becomes like the heavens. When Moses created the temple, he says to create according to the pattern that was revealed to him from the mount, because no territory is independent of a mirror image in the spirit. Every known territory is a reflection of a spirit city where spirits, you know, form their dominion and control the visible realm from. And so the earth is a mirror image. But before we come into the earth, I said there are spirit cities that must be dominated. And I said those spirit cities mirror their dimension into the earth realm. And I gave us instances. I said Egypt, for example, is a territory that stopped the word sent Moses. It says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to let my people go. They worship me. That means, and so any state of your time or life where you find that it has become difficult to worship God, know that you are in Egypt. You don't need to travel to the northern part of Africa to be in Egypt. Any sphere that negates or impedes the worship of God is an Egyptian territory in the spirit. Because Egypt tries to stop the worship of God. For you to worship God, you must come out of Egypt. This is why God insisted that they must come out of Egypt. Exodus 8 verse 1, Exodus 9 verse 1, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go that they may worship me. Because if they are in Egypt, they can never worship God. Every time men struggle with worship, they are in Egypt. And some of us may not have gone to Egypt in the natural, but we are citizens of Egypt in the spirit. I told us about Babylon last week. I said, whereas Egypt stops the worship of God, Babylon allows you to worship God, but he introduces mixture. Babylon will tell you, you can worship your God, but there are other gods you need to worship. When Satan came to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, it was Babylon he was introducing. You are the Son of God. Nobody is doubting it. Turn these stones to bread. Give your allegiance to God and also give your allegiance to me. You are the Son of God. Bow to me. I'll give you the whole city. The glory of the world is yours. You can continue proclaiming yourself as the Son of God, but worship me in addition. And if Jesus had obeyed Satan, he would have returned with the power. But this time around, the power would have been corrupt. So I said, in Babylon, what you are is what you have. It's not in contention. It's who you are that is in contention. Because the same way God blesses men, the devil blesses men. The Bible said the difference is that the blessings of God does not add sorrow. That means the devil also has the power to bless men. The way God empowers men, so does the devil empower men. The difference is that allegiances will have to be altered. You must submit to another God to be able to wield power and authority. The way God makes men popular, the devil also makes men popular. Popularity is not wrong. The Bible said when Jesus returned from the mount, he said his fame went abroad. So God gives fame because it's a tool for advancing kingdom. But God is not the only one that gives fame. That's why all the famous men on planet Earth today are not Christians. There are many godless people that are highly famous because it's a strategy in the demonic realm. And so what Babylon seeks to do is to give you greatness at the expense of your loyalty to God. And everyone who is beginning to compromise his loyalty to God is already in Babylon. He doesn't need to travel out of his country. And of course, you know by now that it's possible to have dual citizenship. So there are many people with multiple citizenship. They are Nigerians, but they are also Babylonians in the spirit. Because when they try to get a job and it doesn't work, they can give a bribe. When you put pressure on them, they can bow. Because they are actually citizens of Babylon. And Babylon encourages mixture. And when you allow that mixture to come into what you are doing, greatness is sure. That's why our pursuit in life is not primarily greatness. Greatness is a byproduct of what God gives us based on our service to him. Because Babylon too can make great. And there are many people who are great today, but they are Babylonians. That's why even though they are calling the name of the Lord, the Church of Christ is plunging into darkness. The things we cry to God for today, most of them were imported by people that carry collar walking in the church. Most of the gates were opened by bishops. Most of the gates to the body of Christ today was opened by authorities in the church. Most of the territories that are porous today, the gates were opened by leaders in political corridors. They didn't know that loyalty is a prized commodity in the spirit. And so when the princes of darkness came, they didn't stop them from worshiping their God. In fact, they followed them to the synagogue where they worshiped their God. They sat with them and participated in the feast that they had. But when they finished, they told them, this matter you cannot. And they didn't know to compromise can become an angular shift that can swallow a whole nation in a matter of time. And so Babylon makes great. That's why the Bible calls it Babylon the Great. And so for you to be truly great with God, you must subdue spiritual cities. And I said, the way spiritual cities impact their influence on you is by generating energy, not from God. Before you take an action, stop. Stop and ensure that your action is not motivated by that energy. There are many people living today, their life is a reaction. Somebody says you are not prospering, and because the person says that, he will travel to five nations to prove that he's prospering. He's in Babylon. He may not know it, he's harmless, but his integrity has already been compromised in the spirit. That's why I tell people, I say we are not permitted to make decisions based on what we want. In this context, the Bible said you were bought with a price. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20, he said you are not your own. So even matters of destiny, you don't have the right to make a choice because you want it. Every choice you make must be in synchrony with the voice of God. Before you take any step, you must find out, is this what God is saying? Any step you take that is not based on what God is saying, you arrive at greatness. Because journey on, I saw the path there. Paths that seem right to men, but the end is death. The only way you can be sure that where you are going is the destination of God is to ensure that there's no compromise. When spiritual cities come, they will put pressure on you. And so when pressure comes, you must learn to master pressure in order to win the battle of spiritual cities. And the way to master pressure is not to train your will, because your will be easily compromised. When you route a man through his emotion or route a man through his intellect, you can compromise his will. What people don't know is that the gate of the will has no security system. The security system for the will gate is the emotion and the mind. And that's why when the devil wants to manipulate your will, he alters the fact. And when you are looking at the wrong fact, you will easily make a decision. Because the moment your intelligence agrees with the fact, your will is compromised. That's why when the devil wants to take over men, he manipulates their emotional corridor. And they take actions based on emotion. It is when they are done, they will discover that what they did was wrong. It is not something they would have done on a normal day. But when the emotion is compromised, or when the intellect is compromised, a man's will always be compromised. You cannot make decisions of destiny based on fact. Facts can be manipulated. Only the voice of God is potent enough to give you direction in life. And for a man to win the battle of spirit cities, he must learn to always function only by the voice of God. It will be difficult, but you will pay the price. People make mistakes in life and they wonder why. My intention was pure. Your intention was pure, but you didn't have access to the voice of God. The only way to stop the pressure of darkness is to access the voice of God. And for those of you that have been on this corridor for a while, you will know that the moment God speaks, the pressure dissipates. You may be in need of money to do something, and you don't have that money, you are running helter-skelter. The moment God speaks, the money is not yet there, but the pressure dissipates. Because the voice of God is upon many waters. He said the voice of God is full of majesty. He said the voice of God, he divided the flames of fire. He discovered the forest. He causes the hind to calve. The authority that is enshrined in the voice of God, in the power to decimate any city that battles, must gain access to the voice of God. The third city you must win are systemic cities. We are in an election period now. Many Christians have folded their hands and they think they are being spiritual. If we don't have legislators there, we are finished. The reason the kinds of things that happen today happen is because we have not won the systems. When you go to the media, the leading apostles are the sons of the world. When you go to government, the leading apostle. I was talking to some of the media people yesterday and I told them, you are not an influencer. I told them, everybody God sends to the media, there are three things he represents. The first is the apostolic office. Everybody on the media has an apostolic DNA. It is that DNA that motivates him to conquer that mantle, that mountain. Because the order of the apostolic is such that you bear the burden of the king and you go to take territories. Apostles are only interested in territories. When they open the territory, any other thing can happen. That's why apostles go first. And if you find yourself on the media, even if it's 50 people you are influencing, you are an apostolic being on that corridor. And the second thing you represent in the media is that you are a bishop. Bishops are not old men that have been in the kingdom for 30 years. Bishops are overseers. That's why when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, ordained bishop. Timothy, who was ordaining bishop, was a teenager. It's not age-oriented. It's overseership. And so if you have authority over people, it's a bishopric order. You may not have the title and the ordination of a bishop as touching systemic order. But in spiritual equation, you are a bishop over the people you oversee. And so you need to understand that you are operating in the order of a bishop. And if you are operating like that, it means your platform is not a handle. It's an altar. My Facebook page is not a handle. It's an altar. That's why I don't upload pictures there. I won't do birthday and come and stand and put it on my page and say, I went to see. Your handles are altars. And that's why, even though there's an economic aspect to the media, you must ensure that the economic operation does not sabotage the sacredness of that altar. You can't allow adverts that defy the authenticity and the essence of what you are publishing. No matter how much money YouTube offers you, it is not enough to allow a naked picture to appear when they are preaching about sacred oracles. If you know it's an altar, not everything will pass there. But when you don't realize that it's an altar, it will be porous. You don't know what you're on the media. And then I said the third aspect is the fact that you carry a mantle. It's not only Elijah that has a mantle. That you're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, and you're able to influence 50,000 people. A mantle is already at work. If you think it's a joke, go and try it. And see what it takes for 20,000 people to subscribe. Who has preparation? Because the things you put there changes the mindset of people. So you uproot wrong theology. You uproot wrong ideologies. You uproot wrong philosophies. The second is to destroy. Because if you don't uproot and destroy, you can't build. You must destroy the existing foundation to lay a new foundation. All of that is warfare. Because the media is not a place of form. There are three categories of people. They are uninformed and unspiritual people. They only go there to catch fun. They go there to while away time. The second category of people on the media are informed people but unspiritual people. So they only go to the media to make money. The third category of people of the media are informed and spiritual people. They see the media as a warfare ground. So even though they make money from the media, they are more warfare oriented than they are economically oriented. Because they know it's a gate. So when you uproot, you destroy, then you can plant and build. It's a mantle. If you don't have that mantle, you can't do it. And I told them yesterday, I said, most of you are working harder than established apostles and established prophets. You are working harder than established evangelists. Because what all of us are doing here is to amplify the voice of the Holy Spirit. What I'm teaching here is not my intelligence. It's what the Holy Ghost told me. I'm only amplifying it. And I may amplify it to 500 people in this hall. Somebody else may amplify it to 30,000 people. All of us are using the media to preach the gospel. And so if we don't dominate the system, we will fail. When politics come, people come on me. That's why I pity many politicians that have been deceived by irresponsible Christians shouting on media. He's the best candidate. He's the best candidate. If you take the wrong decision, you are gone. Most of the people that are motivated by media hype, when the time for the re-election comes, they discover it takes a burden for kingdom to go out with your PVC, line up for 6 hours and cast a vote. And when that time comes, most of the people, you check, they don't even have a PVC. On the day of election, you check, they don't even vote. It's time for us to really wake up and train people that if we don't take the city, the systemic cities, we can never establish the mandate of God. The mandate of God is at the mercy of the cities that we dominate. And I can assure you today that many Christians are still battling with the city within. Let alone talking about the spirit city. Before you talk about the systemic city. And when you win the systemic battle, then you can come to the territorial battle. If you are in Abuja, you must have influence in Abuja to be able to preach the word of God. If you don't have influence here, the city will eject you. If you are in Lagos, you must have influence on ground to establish the kingdom of God. This is the mindset of kingdom people. They know that there are cities they must conquer, because until you conquer a city, you cannot eat the good of the land. Until you conquer a city, you cannot advance the kingdom of God. And until you conquer a city, you cannot legacy that will become form for the worship and memory of God. And so the business of dominating is that it is something the boys must be trained. Many of us will be. If we are removed from there to another location, prayer life dies immediately because we come under another atmosphere. We have not won the battle of the heavenlies. And so atmospheres determine our consecration. Atmospheres determine our intensity. We may come to church for 30 years, but we are not relevant in the hand of God. And so in a season like this, men must master how to win the battle of cities. If we don't win the battle of cities, there will be no hope for our generation. And when I started teaching yesterday on the protocol, because when I'm done with the protocol, I will also talk about the agents that dominate cities. Because they have qualifications and credentials. The first protocol is not you intending to build it. We know first of all sound and consider the man that traveled from London to Lagos. And I was so impressed. He said it took him 1 year to prepare. The first thing he did was that he learned how to repair a motorbike. Because it's possible that when he's running through the Sahara Desert, the bike will break down. There are no mechanics there. He said he learned how to do the job of a vulcanizer. How to change tires, replace tires. Because it's possible for one pin to kill him in the Sahara Desert. If he runs over a needle, he's finished. The whole expedition ends. So he took 1 year to learn how to uncouple and couple a motorbike. It's not just I can ride bike. Many people think taking over a city is I can preach. And so you just stand and you begin to preach. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You are joking. You are a novice. When you come there, the princes will eject you. You need to study the domineering forces in that city and build an insurance system against them. There are certain cities that you enter and don't do in your spear. They will accuse you to eject you out of that city. Let things at you. And they will be you that they will use that and sow it from the city that even if you have the largest cathedral, nobody. Not about the preaching. It's about understanding the domineering forces there first and knowing how to conquer them. There are certain cities that what they do is to strangle visions with poverty. And so you enter that city with the right vision. But nobody will rise up to help you. You will preach there. You will bring intelligent visions that can change the economy, that can change the government. But you'll be talking to yourself and yourself alone. Your only fan will be your wife. And your wife will be your fan because she's bound to you by covenant. Even her will not sow into the vision. There are cities. You finish talking, your wife will carry money and say, we need to buy one car. We are talking vision, you are talking car. That is it's a city. Even your wife can't sow into the vision. You will walk around the whole town. You will submit 1,000 proposals. If you are not even careful, if your proposal does not have a patent, they will carry your proposal, sell it to another person. And the project you came with, you will see somebody else executing it. And you will be jailed. T-J-U. And so you need all the powers that rule that, those powers, folk spirits that breed upon proposals that make contracts come to people's hands. Men don't understand cities. And so they walk into a city, they are looking for opportunities. There are opportunities everywhere. It depends on your authority over the gatekeepers. If you cannot rule over the gatekeepers, the opportunities will fly over your head. Nothing will happen. There are cities that corrupt and defy men. And so you can enter a place vibrant. You will discover that after 3 months, you fall into lust. After 1 year, you are a fornicator. After 2 years, you become a slave of immorality. And you are wondering, I was not like this. God knows I love him. When you go to God, you are crying. You know I love him. Leave that place of crying to immorality again. You didn't survey the city. You came into a spirit. It's not a demon, the actual of it. Please have been to those realms. For you to see, find the domineering spirit and conquer them. I gave us scriptures last week. Before men took cities, God told them, lift up your eyes and see. Lift up your eyes and see. Genesis 13 verse 40 is as much as you can see that you can possess. Because if you don't see, you won't know the strategy to enter the city. It said, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them. They know not how to enter the city. There is a how to enter a city. Cities are not taken over by novices. They are technocrats that understand templates. If you don't know the templates that was written for that city, you will run in and become a victim. Even though you have the best vision, you have the best motive, you will be swallowed up. And so the first way to dominate a city is to find out. If I ask you now, what are the spirits that dominate Abuja? And what is the pattern of their operation? How many of us can give me at least 2 spirits that dominate this city and how they operate? I'm not talking to preachers. I'm talking to every kingdom ambassador. That's why you have been in Abuja for 10 years. You have not made impact. It's not because you are not gifted. It's not because you are not smart. It's because you have not known how to penetrate the city. You don't know the spirits that dominate here. So you are doing trial and error. You are trying one, trying two, trying three. By the time you are 90, you will try 1,000. And you will not have the spirit. The Bible says Joshua went to survey the city. It was while he was surveying the city that the captain of the Lord's host appeared to him. And told him, don't come here and shout. You will die. These walls don't sink. They don't break. These walls can only sink. And it takes sound. Until your alignment with sound is achieved, you can't collapse this hall. So go around this city 6 times in 6 days. Once every day for 6 days. And blow the trumpet once. On the 7th day, go around it 7 times. And blow the trumpet 7 times. This wall will collapse. And when it does, let everyone charge against the first person that he sees. You will bring down Jericho. That's how they dominate cities. You must do an apostolic mapping and find the strategy and the law that govern the foundation of that city. Because only through can you intelligence on it. Because if you go out, I've seen people die striving to do the best things in the world. I've seen preachers die trying to preach the gospel. You ask, is God not alive? He's alive. You don't have the strategy. You don't have the blueprint. You don't know the protocol. And so before you step out, make sure the blueprint is handed to you. That's why Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch. I know there is a body. I know there's an urgency in the spirit. But I will stand upon my watch and see what he will say to me. I will not jump into the city until I see what he will say to me. And he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables. If you don't get it, you can't enter. He told Jeremiah, what seest thou? In Jeremiah 1:10. Remember, he had told the man before. Before you were formed, that's why he said, he said, what seest thou? They have been nothing. They hear out. They never took time to study. Don't hear the story of a man and jump out. When you hear the story of a man, find out the covenants and the things God told him. There are strategies that back every exploit. The story is the most shallow aspect of it. That's why everybody is quoting Benson Idahosa today. But very few are doing what Benson Idahosa did. It's not about talking big things. Young people can be excited. But when you are stepped out in life, you will know that excitement should come after you have achieved result. Young people are the only people that get excited before starting. They jump and shout. For those who have experimented for a while, on feet, there's no solution. You keep force and ensure to deal a terrible blow to the enemy before you sing and before you shout. Number two, what is the protocol of taking a city? Listen, the things I'm sharing with you, don't look at it in the light of a preacher. Apply it to whatever it is God has committed to your hands. There are many people that have sunk before. Some in politics, some in business, because they don't know the giants that are there. And they don't know the covenants that bring down the giants. And so they jump out, they are taking unawares. You can be a businessman and you need to hear these things and apply to your business, because that's the city you will take. You can be a politician, you will hear this and apply it. You have entered a political party. Everybody there have slaughtered 7 virgins. And they come out for primaries. And you come, you say, I made money from America. You bribe will not be able to treat you. You need to find out what they are saying. Without a sacrifice, come with covenant. You come without a revelation. You come without a verdict. Oh man, I heard a story. I won't share it. It will look like I'm glorifying the devil. I try not to give demonic examples, because it takes a while to uncouple a lot of things. But people don't succeed by chance. Men who succeed, they can replicate it again and again and again, because they know how. A wealthy man lost $2 billion in one day, and that same day, he went to play golf. And they met him. Journalists came and, how are you able to do this? You lost $2 billion, you are playing golf? He said, the money didn't make me, I made the money. And if I made it, I can make it again. It wasn't a gift. I worked it out. I am millions. The thing is here in the bank. Look, make point when they know the eyes they went in light, and when they speak, they are talking from a realm. Job said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walked through darkness. I didn't stumble through darkness, I walked through it by light. And that's why when the devil threw his best at him, the man was still standing. The wife came, said, curse God and die. He said, why do you speak like one of the foolish women? What do you mean, curse God? This is not the end. I'm just passing through a path, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. I've seen that. It's a deliberate thing. It's not a coincidence. Great men can replicate it again. And so you are in business, in a territory. Find out how men succeed there. They are blueprints in the spirit. God must speak to you first. Even if somebody dashes you $1 billion, don't rush and say, I'm wealthy. It takes more than money to be a wealthy man. Hey, hey, ha. You know why Christians fail? All they have is declarations made over them by pastors. Do you think those pastors are doing what they are doing by declarations? Those declarations are momentary interventions of God. Beyond those declarations, you must dig until you find your water. They say, with joy you shall draw out waters from the wells of salvation.
When I make declarations here, I know all of us are not equal. There are many people that need urgent intervention. Those declarations are designed to bring them out of the pit. But for them to walk through life, it has a code. And in his hand, you ask and find out how many people they laid hands on and how many became great. You see 2-3 people succeeding. And you say, it's because this person laid hands on me. Go and ask him. He has laid hands on 3,000 people. How come it's only 3 succeeding? That means even though laying on of hands is important, there is something more than laying on of hands. I know the place of laying on of hands. Lay your hands on Joshua, that I may transfer the spirit that is upon you unto Joshua. So I understand the mystery of spiritual transference. But I know that beyond laying on of hands, every man standing has a secret with God. If you don't map out in the spirit the weight of your calling, you will not journey enough to find those secrets. And you will be a victim. That's why everybody is running back to church every day. Papa, papa, papa. And there is mentor and father catch up. Don't all receive authority. But much more than that, we have our walk with God. We have mapped out the demands of our destiny. And we are paying the price daily to keep it. That's why we stand. The second thing that makes or confers the ability to dominate territories is sanctification and consecration. I'm telling you why men fail. And remember, this is not for pastors. When you enter an atmosphere, the nature of those spirits are transferred as spiritual laws. And those spiritual laws are reflected as habits, character, and the culture of the people in those atmosphere. And so when you enter a city and you want to succeed without aligning to those spirits, you have made a declaration of war. Those spirits will come for you. The only thing that will keep you insured from those spirits is when there is no defilement on your garment. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing." There's no man making impact that have not been visited. They will show up. And when you have what belongs to them, because you have rebelled against them, they will no longer recruit you. Because every spirit knows the place of loyalty. They know that you have a tendency of rebellion, so they will afflict you. The only way you can be insured from a spirit that is territorial is to ensure that you are not guilty of his character. If you are guilty of his character and tendencies, you become a prey. There are many people that the moment they enter a city, they carry the badge of that city. Either through a habit, or through a character, or through a form of iniquity. And they are hoping that they will succeed in that city without aligning to those spirits. It's a joke. If I give myself to fornication today, the only way I will succeed in this city is when I align to the spirit of immorality. If I give myself to idolatry, either for money or anything, the only way I will succeed is to constantly worship that spirit by servicing the altar of idolatry. The day I stop, I become an enemy of that spirit. And because I have submitted to that spirit already, I'm vulnerable to that spirit. So the second way to dominate a territory is to ensure that you are sanctified and to ensure that you are consecrated to whatever spirit it is that you call. You can't succeed in a place just by saying, "I am a Christian." You have to be. Sanctification is refusal to comply or to be dented by an opposing force. Consecration is absolute alignment to the spirit whom you call upon. Many Christians today, they call themselves Christians, but they are not consecrated to God. Even God finds them. Where are they? Hope you know God finds men. Adam! Adam! Where are thou? There are many people who are not consecrated to God. They say they are Christians. They go to their offices. Their name is Nathaniel. Some people even bear Jesus. But God comes and says, "Jesus, where are you?" And he can't find Jesus because there's no consecration. Jesus only comes to God when he appears in church service on Sunday. And even in that church service, the service is too long for him. So after 30 minutes, he goes to WhatsApp. And he's looking for the other spirit that touches his appetite. You will never find that man bearing Jesus on the altar. Praise once in a while. Only when he has problem, you now come and say, "Lord." Every day, God is looking. When he gets money, His money enters his personal project. And God is waiting. I thought you heard that I had an assignment I want to fulfill. His money is not there. His time is not there. His energy is not there. And he says he's a servant of God. That he's in this city, he will succeed. Which God will succeed you? There are patterns. There are principles. There are ordinances. And there are covenants in this kingdom that makes men to succeed. Consecration is not on the mouth. Consecration is your alignment to the covenants that determine your relationship with the spirit that you are submitted to. And many people have none. Sanctification, on the other hand, is refusal of the influence of that spirit. I read some scriptures. Verse 80. It said, just in the way they fought unto Israel, they knew that there was nothing they could find with the man. He saw the Pharisees, he called them, you brood of vipers. They knew that the man was a burning and a shining light. There was no iniquity in his sanctuary. There's no iniquity. He kept the standards of God. In 2 Timothy 2:19, he said, the standard of the law standeth sure. He said, therefore, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He said, therefore, they that nameth the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. I quote these scriptures every day so that they will become resident in your spirit. He must depart from iniquity. For in a great house, there are many vessels. He says, some unto honor, some unto dishonor. He says, some are made of gold, some of silver, some of hay. He says, if a man, I'm talking about the experiential dimension, where because you are sanctified, you do what the Holy Ghost demands of you in order to stay away from territorial influences. You cannot be a slave of two masters. It's impossible. It doesn't work in this kingdom. And the way you prove that you are only of God is that you deny the iniquity of that territory. The moment you partake and participate of the iniquity of the territory where you are, you're already a slave. You may be succeeding. Wait until the wind and the wave come. The wind and the wave will wait for you to think you are established, because what they do is to uproot foundation. That's why Jesus said, when you are dealing with the wind and the wave, don't count your success, count your foundation. Because they may allow you for 20 years. When they show up, that iniquity that gave you a birth that you belong to them, they will make demand of you. You cannot take a territory until you are sanctified. Daniel was in Babylon. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, he said he proposed in his heart that he will not be defied by the portion of the king's meat. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 3 and 4, he said the people ganged up. They were looking for an occasion against Daniel. How can a politician not have any fault? He said they were looking for an occasion against Daniel. He said they found none. Is it possible for a man to be flawless? Yes. There are too many examples in scripture. How can you live in a city of mixture and it was never recorded that you compromised once? This is what the patriarchs pursue. In our own generation, we pursue fame. We pursue things that should be byproducts. In the days of the wise men of old, men want to leave a record that when they finish their journey, they can stand and say, my hands are clean. Samuel came, he said, let any one of you, in 1 Samuel 12 from verse 1 to 3, raise an accusation against me. I have no offense against anybody. I didn't take anybody's lamb. I didn't take anything from anybody. He made a statement and the whole of Israel concurred that it is true, you are a righteous man. They found hope. You know, these people are not ordinary men. These are the princes of Babylon. Each man. There's some voice notes, calls we make in the night, and voice. People hear about the end that. If we want to check through pastors now, you don't even need to go to heaven. Call multimedia company and say, play for 1 month, play all the calls of every man of God. Some people will go to court immediately because you will be shocked. That's why we are shouting, nothing is happening. You can deceive a few people, but you can't deceive everybody. And even if you deceive everybody, you cannot deceive the spirits that rule the realm. Today, pastors want to get married. They have to change their SIM card quickly. Because there are too many calls that will destroy the family. Because why they yet call themselves pastors, what they are involved in is unhearable. It's unthinkable. It's unimaginable. And we show up, gather together, and say we want to conquer a city. We want to take over a city. The people talking are puppets in the spirit. And the demons know. So no matter how we shout, they look at us. This is not the person that comes every night. Relax. Because the court of the spirit realm is a legalistic court. You cannot submit to a spirit in the dark and come out in the public and say, I rebuke you. You will be the one to be rebuked. He said, the prince of this world
cometh to me and findeth nothing.
I'm telling you why we don't have merchants in the business world. They have compromised. And so the men that should carry the scepter in the economic world, they are running to the fake pastor to pray for them. Both of them are fake. We have men in the political corridor. They cannot wield power because they have compromised. You don't even need a spirit to intervene. When they want to talk, they say, you. The moment they say, you, the man knows what they are saying. He says, okay, let all of us calm down. And he comes back to his constituency and tell the people, you know, it's better to be at peace with one another. It's a gospel of Balaam. We want to truly begin to have dominion. Sanctification and consecration cannot be compromised. And so you are here, you know that there is a stain on your garment. This is the time to cry. Because when you get to that court, they don't check only what you say. They check your garment. In Zechariah chapter 3, when Zechariah stood on the altar, carrying out the oblations of a high priest, they looked at him from the spirit and they said, no, your garment is spotted. Before the guy could talk, mercy had to speak on his account. He said, take off the filthy garment. You can't talk with a filthy garment. Do you know where you came to? You came before thrones and dominions. You came to a realm of princes and powers. Even the servants in that realm are Puritans. When Isaiah ascended to the courts of heaven, he saw the seraphims. Immediately he began to confess. Because they were not just holy by a title. They were blazing with fire. And the very atmosphere abhors iniquity. Because these guys walk in the coals. It was one of those coals they took and touched his tongue. You cannot be full of filth and then you say you want to take a territory. The princes don't fight just with wars. They fight with purity. They fight with character. They fight with integrity. And there are few people that have enough integrity to talk. This is why our world is plunging into darkness. Impartations are the smallest things in the kingdom. When you build capacity in the spirit through loyalty to God in consecration and defilement of the demonic realm, you don't need any man to lay hands on you. When you speak, the realms will be reconstructed. How many people laid hands on Daniel? How many people laid hands on Elijah? How many people laid hands on Moses? Before they rattled the foundation, when they came, there was no occasion against them. They could stand and speak. And when they speak, their words resonate in the heavens. Because they have sufficient integrity to utter the oracles of God. And in all the realms, there will be a witness. You know what 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 said? He said, my people who are called by my name. Now, these are people who want to legislate against darkness. Then to advise, don't just come here and start talking. This is not a realm of English language. He said, my people who are called, I know you say you are my people. He said, but you have to first of all humble yourself. You have to secondly repent before you talk here. You are full of garbage. So don't just come and say, we are the people of God. When they check you, they will first of all advise you from the court and say, come. Those things you are saying, you will fail. Come. Come here and repent first. Purge yourself. The things you are saying are not for sinners. The things you are attempting to do is not for liars. That's why I say, who will stand upon the mountain of God? In Psalm 24 from verse 3. He said, who will stand upon his holy hills? He said, they that are of a pure hand. You know, we gather together and we make so much pride out of prayer. We make so much doctrine out of prayer. Whereas we are praying, nothing is happening. We have not gone to the foundation to check. Who is praying? Before we talk about the prayer, before we talk about the quoting of scripture, before we talk about how long we have fasted, today ministers come and they tell you they have been fasting for the past 7 years. And then they use their fasting as a shield. And the same man who is fasting for 7 years will speak, nothing happens. And when nothing is happening again, he brings psychology, he brings gimmicks, and starts saying lofty things so that the gullible ones will get emotional. And the best thing we have is people falling down. Meanwhile, the territory is in darkness. No man can say restore. Men are bound. No man can fight for nice and they dress. Today, when John is possessing, come quickly. Because if you leave it, there may be embarrassment. One of the other, be casting out demons in the private. Because anything can happen. You are not sure what will happen. Because the demon you want to cast out can say, hey, you that was in the beer parlor yesterday. The whole church will scatter. So it's better to... I told you a story before. How we went to cast out demons. And one of our brother that came. Because he can speak in tongue. And we were not wise there. All of us were praying with our eyes closed. The next thing we heard was, boom. And the brother... The man who came to cast out him. We saw a replay of the Sons of Sceva. The guy said, what? Me? It's over. That was when church closed. Church. I am bothered. I don't want to laugh. Church closed immediately. We left the case for later because we knew that the people who came here, we are not ready yet. Meanwhile, I'm not trying to say everybody who cast out demons is perfect. You need revelation to cast out devils. But I'm telling you that there are certain courts you appear in the spirit. Your testimony is not the words you speak. It's first of all sanctification and consecration. And so if we have a hope of taking over cities, most of us need to purge our garments. Most of us need to purge. There's too much stain. And these things are speaking against us in the courts of the spirit realm. We have gotten a big name before people. And that's why we try now to stage manage a lot of things. Because they are stains. If we will humble ourselves and ask the Lord to help us and be purged, there is a hope for a generation. Because what will deliver our generation are not messages. What will deliver our generation are not even bogus prophecies. Is the rise of purity. Men that can stop. And when you look upon finding, those are men that can change the fortune of a territory. And so consecration and sanctification is the second requirement for men that can subdue territories. We have too many porous people. Garbage in the dark, show and manipulation in the public, and we hope to contend with spirits that see both in the dark and in the light. It's a joke. You know, the Lord told me something. He said, if you become an honorable man, and I taught you yesterday, he said, most of the things you pray overnight for, all you need to make is a declaration. And that's why I told you how mantles are crafted. Sometimes it will take 72 hours of praying every week. God is working on your soul structure. God is working. Sometimes it may take 168 hours of praying every 2 weeks. God is working. As you begin to grow, you will notice that your prayer will move from an energy within. The energy within is called the anointing within. It will become an atmosphere. That's what Samuel carried. In Nayot Ramah, Samuel built priesthood until it became an atmosphere. You couldn't enter there. And a day came, he migrated from an atmosphere, he became a scepter. And so he doesn't need to pray. When he comes and talks, it's a law. Elijah walked in the same order. A point came, he wanted to leave the earth. He didn't tell Elisha to do anything. He said, if you see me, you will have it. What I carry now is a mantle. I don't need to stir myself. I don't carry an atmosphere, I carry a mantle. That means I can come to a place that is dry. If I talk, things will still happen. I don't need a place to be charged. If he passes, he carries a mantle. When I show up, I am the atmosphere. And so it doesn't matter what was going on. It's only for me to make a decree. That's what the Bible said. I am the Lord that confirms the words of my servants and the counsels of my messengers. Those ones talk from a mantle. And so the third protocol of taking a city is priesthood. When you have done the mapping, when you have done the sanctification and consecration requirement, then your priesthood can begin to work. Because though territory is taken without prayer, make no mistakes about it. These are irrefutable truths. They survive the test of time. They have been and they will always be. Nothing can change them. Everywhere territories are shifted, intercession went to the foundation. In Genesis chapter 4 from verse 26, it said the earth was full of corruption. He said, but in those days, he said, men began to call upon the name of change. When Noah came, the first thing he did was 8:20-22. That was preservatory. He said, from today's time and harvest, cold and winter. So he said, cold and heat, summer and winter, sowing and reaping shall not cease. The man trapped that territory by his priesthood. When a man builds enough priesthood, his priesthood becomes the foundation of the territory. So men don't stand on soil, they stand on altars. When you see a man who is invincible, it's not about where the location, the physical location, is the height of the altar where he's speaking from. Every man that wields power in this realm knows that it's by priesthood. This is why both in light and darkness, men pursue after spirit. And the way to constantly engage a spirit is by priesthood. If engaging spirit is not a priority to you, you are not yet ready to be great. Because when you step out, you will discover that it is the backing of spirits that make men. It's not technocracy. It's not intelligence. Intelligence becomes relevant when you have secured the backing of a spirit. There are many intelligent people today that waste to you and you wonder, why are you here? And sometimes come to a place, a people are constantly being marginalized. And they have been marginalized for as long as they can remember. No one can stand up and say restore. The day deliverance comes is the day when altars begin to speak. Because every altar has a voice. It depends on the servicing of that altar by that priest that will give vocabulary to that altar. If altars are not speaking, territories cannot be taken. What brings down territory are the voices of altars. That's why when Noah offered to the Lord, God heard a sweet smelling savour. And he said in his heart, he said, I will no longer destroy the earth because of man. I have heard something. There's an utterance that came from this altar. This utterance have provoked a verdict from me. And from that time on, anything that happens, they had already secured safety. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12, the Bible said, Israel was constantly being buffeted. There was a contention of territories. In fact, they had taken some of the lands of Israel. Then a man took a stone. Said he's the Lord, and the Bible said from that day, he said the hand of God was perpetually against the Philistines. More after all the days of Samuel's life. The reason we look vulnerable is because we are preaching about prayer. We are not praying. The reason we look vulnerable is because we are boasting in the name of our God, but we are not engaging our God in the spirit. If men don't rise in prayer, we will have beautiful prayer sermons. We will play around it, make a religious charade, sing about it, but nothing will change. When we truly begin to pray, even if nobody is preaching about prayer, things will begin to happen. We have seen in scripture that sometimes one man will change the fortune of a nation because of priesthood. How much more when many gather? The Bible said God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And only Abraham stood. Far be it from you that the just God of heaven will destroy both the righteous and the wicked. What if you find 50 righteous men? How can one man determine the fate of a city? How can one man determine the fate of a nation? Because that man speaking is not one man. That man speaking has become an altar in the spirit. And so when he's talking, Christ is talking. You may look at one of many years that Abraham began to intercede. In Genesis 18:19, he said, I know Abraham, my servant. He will command his children in my way. So that thing speaking was not the voice of a man. That thing speaking was over 40 years of allegiance. That thing speaking was over 40 years of eternal commitment. That thing speaking was a heavy weight of sacrifice in the spirit. And when he spoke, even his sacrifices were talking. When he spoke, his consecrations were talking. When he spoke, his allegiances were talking. When he spoke, his loyalty to God was all speaking. So it was not one voice you heard. God heard many voices. And God did not just hear momentary voices. God heard consistent voices of many years. Because the man talking was a mobile altar. Why do you think we are vulnerable? We are vulnerable because our altars are full of ashes. That's why in Leviticus 6:12, he said the priest, everyone who wants to conquer it must build an altar. But even if you are the only one, keep standing. Because we have seen in scripture before that one man took over a nation. So it's not our number that gives us advantage. It's our consistency that gives us advantage. You may be the only one praying. Keep praying. When we are many, it becomes easier. Because whatever two or three of you agree on earth as touching is agreed in heaven. When we are alone, it's more difficult. But the same result we can command as a people, we can command as individuals. And so when things are not working, all of us are to blame. When will the intercessors rise? When will the watchers rise? When will the custodians rise? Today, our priority is about a show. And that's why our word and ministry have become ablations, manipulations, you know, all kinds of witchcraft rise. They are miracles. And so when they come out, the things that they inherited in the spirit. So secure your inheritance before you come out. When you come out, you are going to take over what God gave you. That's why intercession precedes dominating territories. I can tell you today that 90% of the businessmen that come to church depend on anointing oils and laying on of hands. They have no mobile altar. I can tell you today that most of the politicians know that if they can just bring 1 million, the pastor can follow them anywhere. They have no mobile altars. And because we too, standing on this altar, betray this altar casually, we will not teach people to take responsibility. We keep directing them to us. The day they choose to be independent, we castigate them. Because the witchcraft has grown so high that it's our joy for everybody to be dependent on us. And gullible people that know nothing talk. Not knowing that princes have a relationship with God before man. Today, come with front of the pool with a functional altar. That's a miracle. In right here that I'm talking. Take a census and ask men. When was the last time God spoke to you? What did he say? They are stranded people. Because they don't have an altar. They have not heard the voice of God. And these are the kinds of people we are interested in. Raising mediocre Christians that will not press until they hear for themselves and see for themselves. John said, the things that I have seen and heard, declare unto you. I'm not telling you stories. I'm not telling you what I picked up from a book. I'm telling you what I saw because I too participate in the fellowship of the mystery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your family will be victimized. Except as you build an altar. Your business will be victimized. Except you build an altar. No man can cover you enough. That's why you must have a functional priesthood for yourself. If any man tells you that it's a full covering for you, it is a capital deception. Go and ask him. Hear God and ask him what God is saying concerning you. You will see how stranded he is. Because he doesn't know what God is saying. You don't wake up. Demons will wake you up. And the way they will wake you up, it will be with cancer and high blood pressure. You don't wake up. Demons will wake you up. And the way they will wake you up is by swallowing up your investment. What you built with your life for 10 years, it will be swept away as if it was nothing. That is why in for 10 years, no spirit can take away. I stand my ground and I insist that only the will of God find expression in my spirit. That is what priesthood is about. Priesthood is not religious praying. It's legislation and litigation. Legislation is the power to insist that only the will of God stand. And litigation is the power to hold demons back. You can't walk past here. This is not a ground you can tread. I secure this territory. The Bible spoke of Samuel. It said in Nayot Ramah, Saul took an army and came to slay him. Samuel didn't need to send anybody there. The atmosphere was already charged, waiting for any enemy. The moment Saul entered that atmosphere, the Bible said he tore his garment and he prophesied naked from morning to night. That is why when the warriors of God were numbered, it's not only men that fought with arrows that were called. Even priests were called. It's where you put Gideon and Barak that you will put Samuel. Because one was fighting with an arrow. Another one was fighting with the spirit. With tongues of fire. The same potency that the arrow generates is the potency that the prayer generates. That's why when I hear people say, all of us should take up arms, I laugh. they have not known priesthood. Prayer is more potent than a battalion of an army. Did you not read about Elisha? A whole army of Syria came to him. He said, Lord, blind their eyes. And an army came, and he led the army back to their city. Because one man praying is more powerful than the battalion of a soldier. What is the weight of your priesthood? One man can hold Abuja in the spirit. And no matter the military, it can't change anything. We are not praying. I will never be part of the pastors that tell men to carry guns. Because I know guns are the least weapons. But I know there is a place in the spirit where Elijah sat. And he said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume you. 50 soldiers were burnt up. I know a man called Elijah. He did it not once, not twice. The third time when the army showed up, they saw the roasted one. The guy called him my Lord. My Lord. Because we come with bows and arrows. No, it is video person. The enemy must graduate to that level. Help that brother. He must graduate to that level where men can shoot arrows with tongues. And so when you are praying, you are firing weapons in the spirit. This is what God wants us to achieve. But where are the men of prayer? Where are the men that can ascend the mountains of God and say, restore? Where are the men? I read the story of John Knox. He said, give me Scotland or I die. And one man provoked a revival in a nation. This is not motivational speaking. This is a mystery in the spirit. That one man praying can be more powerful than the battalion of a soldier. Malekedaka voliatanask. Baraka seze. Vele kandalis. Derakira. He said, he that prays in an unknown tongues. He said, he speaketh not unto men. He said, he's speaking to God. He said, in the natural, it makes no sense. How be it in the spirit, he altered mysteries. We need fighters on the altar. Men that stand on the altar and take flights in the spirit. We need men that can be mobilized from the altar and shape the topography of territories. Men that can bring deliverance unto Jacob through the powers of priesthood and intercession. Ah!
Hey!
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hear this. He said, why do the heathens rage and the people imagine inventing? He said, the king and the two counsel against God and against his Christ. He said, but he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. And he said, he shall vex them in his derision. Hear this. It doesn't matter what the enemy is doing. Right now, go ahead and release judgment. Go ahead and release judgment. He said he will cut off a nation because of you. Every wicked fellow, every strategy of the demonic, let all of them be cut off. Cut off and cut off.
Shadow vanish.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Come.
Hear this. Hear this. God is against evil and wickedness.
Yes, sir.
And any man that perpetrates evil for no just cause, there's a verdict.
Yes, sir.
For that man. I want to proclaim a verdict. And we will pray it. Psalm 109. Psalm 109, verse 4. Hear what it said. It said, for my love and my adversary. It said, for my love, they are my adversary. It said, I give myself unto prayer. It said, they have rewarded me evil for good. We did them no claim good. Show me paid with wickedness. Hear the verdict, O Lord. A wicked man. I said, let Satan stand at their right hand. It said, when he is judged, let him be condemned. And he said, let his prayer become a sin. He said, let his days be few. And let another man take his office.
Amen.
Let his children be fatherless.
Amen.
Let his wife be a widow.
Amen.
Let his children continually be vagabond.
Amen.
He said, let them beg. He said, let them seek bread. But let no man give to them.
Amen.
They should dwell in desolation.
Amen.
He said, let the extortioner catch them.
Amen.
And let a stranger take over their possession.
Amen.
Go ahead and release that judgment.
Manta.
They are cut off. Their children are fatherless. Their wives are widows. Their wives are widows. Their wives are widows. Their wives are widows. Elegoshka. Elegoshka. Atiado balakwata. Arakatodos. Tagas. Tagas. Wade. Wade. Let their office be taken. And. We release the vengeance of God. My God. Apollo Katonas. Idiatwa. Zelo. Saga Tobalatana. Ha! Their memory is cut off from the earth. My God. My God. Let their habitation be turned into desolation. Let their land be barren. Let evil befall them. Madeke Zovata. Yadosh. Alelamone. Ologobodosh. Atiatuatuash. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirit raises a case against them in the courts of heaven. They repay good with evil. They repay love with wickedness. Their land is barren. Evil befalls them perpetually. You want to destroy the fortune of a nation? You enter a church, massacre a whole congregation. Their wives are widows. Their sons and daughters are fatherless.
Amen.
And their children remain vagabonds.
Amen.
We keep in to his perpetual desolation.
Amen. Kaipuata. Parite.
Balegazuna.
Fully.
Vika Skata. Evil in Nigeria will rise up as a band of priests and kings. And we say, let there be verdict against this one.
Amen.
Isaiah 49 verse 24. Hear this. We are releasing judgment. Listen, the church is called the Ecclesia. We establish laws. We establish ordinances. We proclaim judgments. If they don't repent, they will die suddenly.
Yes.
My God. Yes. You can't appeal and not go. They die by the verdicts of God.
Amen.
Isaiah 49:24. It says, from Matty, all the lawful captive delivered. It says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. He said, for I will contend with him that contend with thee, and I will save thy children. He said, I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken in their own blood, and as with sweet wine, all their flesh shall be known, and they shall know that the Lord your God is your Savior. We are decreeing now, every one of them that have made wickedness a profession, number one, they lose their office. But two, they are flesh.
Amen.
Drunk with their own blood.
Amen.
This is the last. This is the last. Atefe konata. Oliga. Tayano atuate. Elos. Yaka toa. One. One. Abe ketosa. Atuatu atuatu. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus. Hear this. None of you will be a victim of any man's wickedness. None of you will be a victim of any man's religious bias. None of you will be a victim of any man's greed. In the name of Jesus, the Lord lifts a standard over the when the enemy shall come in. He said, the spirit of the decree, the Lord upon my life is my banner. The Lord is my Ebenezer. The Lord is my standard. Not one of your children will be a victim. Not one of your relatives will be a victim. Not one Christian will be a victim in Nigeria anymore. Go ahead and proclaim the safety of God, the banner of God, the standard of God is lifted over you. It's lifted over your business. It's lifted over the body. Batakapatoa. Zeketegapados. Rakatoate. Asuda. Zayak. My God. Pray in the spirit. Barokatagapona tava. Iteke soso palakatida. Ragatatapondo. Aswasazote. Take it off. The seal of the Lord is upon his children. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Huh? Listen, tomorrow's prayer will be brutal. It's time to fight. Warriors, we have to emerge from our ranks. We have been too gentle. The Bible said, upon this rock shall not be able. And so now we are not just taking the grounds. We are not just reclaiming the grounds. We are pushing them out of the borders. If we happen to them suddenly, they don't know what we can mobilize. They have no idea. They have just awoken a race of warriors. Something strange is about to happen. And they will all be ejected from the office. None of them will be in the place of power. We take power from their hands. We eject them from the offices. They don't know what power is meant for. We receive it from them.
Amen.
We seize it from them.
Amen.
We take the scepter from them.
Amen. Come on, sir.
Aliyah. Aliyah. Aliyah.
whatever they are called, we don't care. But from today, judgment visits their camp.
Amen.
All these more. Kai. My God. Thank you, Father. Hear this. The fourth way to take over a territory is to apportion responsibilities. Every time territories are taken, responsibilities are apportioned. Some of you will receive responsibility on the altar. Some of you will receive responsibility in the field. Some of you will receive responsibility in media. Some of you will receive responsibility in government and governance. Now, the scepter that enthrones man in the name of Jesus, according to your rank and according to your allocation, step into that office now. Step into that office now. Step into that office now. Those of you who are government agents, we open the governmental corridors. We open the governmental gates. Step into those seats of power. Those of you who are in the media, we open that gate to you now. Step into that corridor. In the name of Jesus. Strange men are about to rise in our ranks. Strange men with strange graces, strange encounters, and strange mantles. Some of you, God puts this off of women die. They think we are talkers. A new generation is about to emerge. We don't know how to compromise, and we don't know any government house to go and bargain. We bargain from the altar, and only the judgments of Elohim is on our tongue. And so we decree now, everyone sitting in any place of power that is a candidate of evil, he is either ejected or he dies.
Amen.
And everyone the Lord is preparing here now, I speak in the order of Jeremiah. I establish you on your throne.
Amen.
Step into the place of power.
Amen.
Step into the place of power.
Amen.
I come in the spirit of Jeremiah and I establish you on your throne.
Amen.
I've taught you before. Listen. The New Testament is a dispensation. And that dispensation was enacted in the natural, not in the spirit. When we enter the spirit, we can function from any order. We activate the days of Jeremiah, where evil is punished and wickedness is judged. And I decree now, every tongue proclaiming evil and every hand walking wickedness, in the name of Jesus the Christ, from the count of 7 days, let death begin to visit their camp. They will die strangely.
Amen.
Because the curse of God is upon them.
Amen.
They refuse to repent, then they will no longer afflict anyone with evil. They refuse to repent, they will no longer afflict anyone with wickedness. The same thing they contemplate begins to happen to them from now. My God, my God,
my God,
my God, hear me please. There are three persons here. A strange mantle, an ancient mantle, is about to fall on you. From today, you will be changed into another man. I know what I'm telling you. I speak by the mantles I have encountered in the spirit. And somebody is about to make contact with an ancient mantle. Men will not understand you, but authority will define you. As I speak now, wherever they are, Father, take that mantle and release it in the name of Jesus. The era of ordinary Christianity is over. I'm telling you, many fighters are emerging from our midst. Many strange fighters. Fighting by fire, fighting by sound, fighting by light, fighting by energy recalibration in territories. Wherever they are, the men that carry those authorities, whether you are in this or online, I call you forth now. Step into that ordination.
Ene du dabu weno. Ojo du dabu weno. Ene du dabu weno. Ojo du dabu weno. Ohiminiye. Akwata kibiti. David said.
Oh my God.
Your head will be cut off to the bone.
Some of you may not fall down
to the arrest.
Something strange has fallen on you.
Some of you will live here, you will notice even the things you said casually will happen. Then you will know that a mantle has fallen on you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Every one of you here that your life was failing before now and until now, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim restoration. Go back and conquer that mountain. Every one of you that were robbed before now, there is verdict in your favor. For verdict has been proclaimed in the favor of the righteous. And so I enthrone you back in the name of Jesus. I speak to businesses that are failing. I speak to businesses that have been grounded. In the name of Jesus the Christ, come forth.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. The fifth protocol of dominating a territory is to possess your possession. It begins with mapping. It enters sanctification and consecration. It moves into priesthood or waging of war. It enters into apportioning of responsibilities, offices and mantles. And then it enters into possessing the good of the land. But there are two things about possessing the land and obedient. We eat the good of the land. There are most of you that from tonight the Lord will give you an instruction. Do everything you can to keep it. Because your obedience to destruction is the testimony of your willingness. If you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. And so I speak as a priest of God. I decree that every inheritance that is yours, receive it now. From today, captains of industries are born. From today, mighty and powerful governmental agents are born. From today, heavy tech individuals emerge. Men that have power in the tech industry and in the communication industry. Receive that grace now. He said, the wealth of the Gentiles shall be transferred to us. And so let wealth transfer begin now. I give you power. According to the word of the Lord, receive power to get wealth. Receive power to get wealth. Receive power to get wealth. In the name of Jesus. And above all, I bring you into higher experiences in the spirit. Come into deeper spheres of intimacy. Come into deeper spheres of spiritual engagement. Eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that perceive, in the name of Jesus, receive it now. Hallelujah. 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 Any of you here suffering under demonic bondage, be it an implantation in your health, compromising the quality of your health or your family, an attempt to destroy your home or your businesses,
I come to you today by the Melchizedek order of priesthood, and I decree, let there be restoration. I break the oppressions of witchcraft. I break demonic oppressions. Receive your freedom now.
Thank you, Father.
We are out of time, but hear me. Some of you, before you return here by next week, you will have an encounter in the spirit that will turn your life around forever. Except I am not sent, the heavens over you are open from tonight. Some of you, before you return here by next week, you will step into financial fortune. The world you have never seen before, the door opens to you now. I see not one, not two, not three possessing lands, physical lands and territory. The gate to the city opens to you now. Receive your inheritance. The time where we look out for help is over. From among us, mighty men rises. You may have trekked to this place today, but not too long from now, you will not just drive in your own vehicle. You will give vehicles for kingdom advancement. You may have been transported to this place because you don't have money. Not too many days from now, you will sponsor kingdom engagement because you will have more than enough in the name of Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.